This is WMUC FM College Park, and welcome to Blow Up. We are back. It's been a long time, but after a 3 or so week hiatus, I'm glad to be back with you guys. So we're going to talk about disco music today. Specifically, we're going to talk about death of the genre and its decline in popularity. And I think we're all aware of disco in this country, but, you know, talking to people, I think we're unaware of the circumstances that surrounded its demise. And these circumstances, they lie in America's reactionary response to some of the to the socio-cultural aspects of disco music. So We're going to time travel all the way back to 1979, in which disco became extremely popular among American audiences. You just heard Michael Jackson's Off the Wall. Motown musicians, such as the Jackson 5, transitioned into making disco music, such as Curtis Mayfield as well. And Michael Jackson's solo debut, his first solo debut albums, were disco albums and were incredibly popular. Off the Wall is an American classic. And, you know, with the release of Saturday Night Fever, starring John Travolta, you saw that captivate audiences, you know. And you saw disco transform into other countries as well. You know, everyone knows ABBA. Everyone loves ABBA. You talk to your grandparents, it's like, yeah, I love ABBA. They're really cool, you know. You know, they made me think Sweden was a real place. So, you know, by all accounts, it hit the Western zeitgeist successfully. So what exactly happened? And that's what we're going to get through today. So before we actually talk about it, I'm going to play a PSA for you guys. And then I'm going to play a classic, Bad Girls by Donna Summer. So here is the PSA first.
Ever wonder why you feel like a complete zombie when your alarm goes off after 8 hours, if you're even lucky enough to get that much sleep? As college students, it feels almost impossible for us to get enough sleep. We're constantly told to get 8 hours, but is that really the magic number? Did you know that throughout the night, your body cycles through periods of light sleep and very deep sleep? Most people's sleep cycles tend to last 90 minutes, so if you aim for 8 hours, your alarm is likely to go off just as you're diving into deeper sleep. Try aiming for 7.5 hours of sleep and see how you feel in the morning. If you feel great, you probably nailed it and found your sleep cycle. If you don't feel perfect just yet, test out an 85 or 95 minute sleep cycle instead. Not only will you feel great in the mornings once you discover your magic number, you'll also add about 30 minutes of valuable time to your day.
We'll be right back. never change my plans. All my dreams will melt like sand. Oh, the moment that you say goodbye, I'm gonna rush right to the sky. Whoa, 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 whoa. Thank you.
You just heard a little teaser there. Ooh. Okay. You just listened to Bad Girls by Donna Summer, Clouds by Chaka Khan, and the main title of Scarface by Georgia Moroder. And, you know, despite that last song, despite that being a movie from 1983, you're still 1979. And we're going to talk about what exactly happened to Kill Disco within the United States. In 1979, specifically July 1979, a DJ named Steve Dahl was fired from his radio station. And the radio station, the disc jockeys, changed it to a disco format to capitalize on the ongoing popularity of disco within the American music commercial industry. And he was upset, you know. He was so upset that he himself decided to organize a demolition disco night at the White Sox Stadium. And this disco demolition is exactly as what it is described. Essentially, in a baseball field, disco records were destroyed. And they weren't just destroyed. It was essentially a riot. It was dozens of people destroying disco records, lighting them on fire. And so where does the significance come into this? I think when I tell someone this, it may sound, you know, depending on who you are, it may sound either silly or it sounds, you know, why would anyone do this? And it's really because of the sociocultural backlash when it came to this. The fun fact here is that these records weren't disco records being destroyed. They were mostly black records being destroyed. And you have to remember, disco originated from a community of mostly black, Latino, and gay individuals as a sort of home for them. And so when you have these people, when you are someone who is frustrated, you know, with losing your job, with the popularity of something, and all you can do is, with, you know, other white Americans, speak a message of, you know, destroying these unrelated records, these unrelated Motown records, these unrelated black records, as a fight against disco. It's not really a fight against disco. It's a fight, you know, it's protesting blackness, in a sense, and protesting the concept of someone having, being gay, you know, being able to express their sexuality in a way that is not, you know, that doesn't align with the norms of late 1970s America. And so this has been compared to a Nazi book burning, in a sense. And while, of course, this wasn't state sponsored, it's not a Nazi book burning, but in a sense it is, where it's directly aligned with white supremacy, in a sense. And it's disgusting, and America reacted by this by not saying, okay, this is disgusting, this should be abhorred, we should never do something again. Like, we should, you know, respect the musicians and respect the art. This was late 70s America, right? There's still an element of racism, even in a post-segregation world. And the response was an overwhelming, disco is done. We can't listen to this because disco is what caused this violence in the first place. It wasn't the American culture that caused this. It was the music from underrepresented voices that were now being represented. And it's kind of, you know, it's not great. So we're going to continue this by playing Goodbye Boogie Dance by Anne Marie next. So take a listen.
Oh, Oh, what you gonna do? You wanna get down? Tell me. Oh, what you gonna do? Do you wanna get down? Oh, what you gonna do? You wanna get down? Oh, what you gonna do? You wanna get down? Tell me. By standing on the wall,
get your back up off the wall.
Tell me, how you gonna do it if you really don't wanna dance? By standing on the wall,
get your back up off the wall.
'Cause I heard all the people saying,
get down on it,
come on and
get down on it.
If you really want it,
get down on it.
You gotta feel it.
All right, that was, or you just heard, sorry, You just heard Goodbye, Boogie Dance by Honoree, Magic by Kylie Minogue, and Get Down on It by Kool & the Gang. And so within the one thing about Disco Demolition Night is that it was one of the five MLB games to ever end in a forfeit in the post-1960 MLB expansion era. And to many, at least to me, I think that's pretty significant. And its influence was felt among many genres as a condemnation of disco, especially rock and punk rock. For example, Jello Biafra wrote a song called "Disco Holocaust Night," which was a criticism of not only the night, but disco being a sort of form of mindless entertainment for Americans. And there's this sort of echoing statement that disco sucks, and there had been one before it had become as unpopular as it was, and the reason why is because it was a marketing gimmick. If you say something sucks, then people will listen to it, no matter what it is. You know, I could like post or make a burner account, post it on Instagram, say this show sucks, this is the worst show ever. And just keep on reposting it, keep on making hate posts about this show. And there's going to be at least five people who tune in to make fun of me and call me a lolcow or whatever. You know, that it works. Hate works. And it worked for disco. Rock stations found out that they could say that disco sucks. And so it increased their listeners among a white American populace. Right? And in clubs, you know, if you say that, if you go to clubs and you play disco, it's like, oh, okay, I kind of want to hear it now. But I think people weren't amused by it by the end of the day when it came to, you know, 80s rockers. And they mostly criticized, or they actually thought it sucked. It was a critique of the commercial nature of it in the late 70s, how the zeitgeist became well-informed of the movement, and in a sense, it was commercial trash. Even Saturday Night Fever, which I mentioned early, starring John Travolta, is commercial trash, right? It's an example of the Western mindset of there should be no politics in my product. It's opposed to many of the punk rock that formed during the time, many of the rock that formed at the time. It was simply mindless fun for American listeners to many punk rockers. And I think you can make that argument that, you know, this pop and pop music in general is an example of mindless entertainment for an American class. And I don't think there's anything wrong with mindless entertainment. I think that it neglects underrepresented communities, in a sense, because not every minority community was worried about the politicization present in punk rock, right? Like, if you ask an African-American community or African-American person in the late 70s if they're listening to punk or if they're well aware of punk movements, they're probably not going to say much, because while there was a significant African-American presence, punk was, in fact, overwhelmingly white and born out of a white middle class. So, you know, I think that it was well-intentioned, but I think, and you can criticize that there was a time in the late 70s in which disco existed purely to capitalize on commercial audiences, it is a mark of pretension that only 80s rockers could possibly think of. And to me, that's very disappointing, and we kind of see it now, where there's a lot of genres, you know, in certain spaces tend to be put down a little bit because they aren't thematically abrasive enough, in a sense that commercial audiences can just listen to it for easy listening, and because it's purely commercial, it deserves this criticism. And I think you can always criticize mindless entertainment, right? But you know, sometimes the rockers need to relax, and They were propping up CBCG, and I'm not gonna lie, a lot of those albums weren't political in the slightest. Like, they stole from other, not stole, but they were, you know, they were inspired by more political art. Surely they're more interesting than disco, but you know, they weren't as politically significant. The rock movements during the time weren't as politically significant as we really believed them to be. So yeah, we're gonna listen to next, It's a Love Thing by The Whispers. So take a listen. You just listened to It's a Love Thing by The Whispers, Ladies Night by Kool and the Gang, and Tragedy by the Beach, Ladies Night by Kool and the Gang. And for, thank you guys for joining us, joining me. I'll be back next week. And for our last song of the day is I Feel Love by Donna Summer. So please take a listen. And once again, thank you.